The eldership here for allowing me the opportunity to speak tonight. I hope I can bring glory to God and just teach His word straight and true. And Dylan and me were talking before the sermon. If this is the last one before the eclipse takes us, I'm the last one you hear, so there you go. Okay. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. This evening, I will talk about a common topic that you may have heard before in church and Sunday school many times. However, I still feel that is very important to visit from time to time, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. The verse from which the fruit of the Spirit comes from is Galatians 5:22, which says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." All of these traits that Paul lays out are all great things to practice and exhibit in our lives. So let's take a look at these traits one by one to truly analyze what it means to have these in our life and how to show these traits to one another. The first is love. Now, love is something you see everywhere in the world, really. We even have a holiday we celebrated not too long ago that is all about celebrating the love you have for a special someone. However, the world's definition of love that is shown throughout the TV shows, movies, and other things we see on a daily basis from the world, we should not follow that one. The world has such a skewed up view of love, and we should not follow that form of love. The only place that we should be looking for advice on love, on how to love, is God's own word. God talks about love many times throughout his word, and those verses give us great advice for love. One of the most famous verses that almost everyone, even non-Christians, know, talks about love, and that verse is John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." God showed a love to us that we could not fathom. We have done nothing but sin against him. However, he took all of that sin and gave his Son to come to this earth, live a perfect life, and die on the cross for our sins. Now, if we compare that love to the love we have today, it's not even close. When we are with our significant others, we often get mad over the littlest things, like the toilet paper not being on the right side, or having the TV too loud and you can't hear nothing. We often get mad and then we just stop showing affection to our love to our significant others until we get over our mood that we're in because of them. But let's just be glad that God does not stop loving us as easily as people in the world do. We could never exhibit the same love that God has shown to us and continues to show to us in our lives. Another verse that talks about love can be found in 1 Corinthians 13:4, which says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up." We can see in this verse that true love is not just saying, "I love you." It is in a continual commitment and care to someone that you genuinely care about. A couple years ago, I heard a great definition for love, and I still believe it is very accurate. They defined love as wanting the best for someone, no matter the consequences or no matter what. If we want to show true love, you have to be committed. You cannot run away when things get tough. You have to be there for someone, no matter what happens, just like God is for us. I've known many people my age who have quit on someone or something when things got tough. We cannot do that if we really want to show true love. We also should not make our love a show. We should not boast it to everyone saying, "Ooh, I got a girlfriend. Ooh, I got a boyfriend." Who cares? Nah, 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 nah. Who cares? That is not love. That is just showing your love is more like a TV show than a real true love. So make sure that your love is a real true love that has commitment through tough times, and not the fake love you only brag about. The last verse about love I will be talking about is 1 John 4:8, which says, He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If you truly want to know God and his plan for you, love others. I know it may be hard at some moments to love others, but God commands us here to love others in order to know him. So make sure to love others, build and continue to have a real committed love to others, and remember that the greatest love of all is the love that God has shown us and will continue to show us every day of our lives. The second fruit is joy. I think we all know what joy is. The dictionary defines joy as a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. And there are various moments when you have these feelings of great pleasure and happiness. Maybe when your favorite sports team wins a football game. I never have those moments as a Vikings fan. You may have joy when hanging out with your family and friends. Or you may just have joy when you see other people having joy. There are many ways that joy comes about in our lives. But what does the Bible say about joy? James 1:2 says, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, first upon reading this, you may think that this statement is absurd. We all know how hard it is to be joyful when something bad happens to us. Maybe we are driving to work and the tire goes flat. How do I find joy in that? Or maybe a family member, a friend dies. How can we be joyful in that moment? Or maybe life has got you down and you feel hopeless. How do we count these moments of joy? This is where verse 3 and 4 comes in. And it says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. When we get down or have bad things happen to us, we need to realize that these testing moments in our life produce patience, and that patience can help us to become a better example for Christ. So whatever that bad thing happens in your life, remember that it will pass, and that you are just being tested, which can help produce patience. Consider everything joy, and you will begin to show more and more joy in your life and to others. Another verse that talks about joy is 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20, which says, for what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Paul is speaking here to the church at Thessalonica, and he says that you may have found joy in other things. However, our true joy, hope, and rejoice can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our true glory and joy. No other thing can bring us the joy that he does. One last verse about joy is Proverbs 17:22, which says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. No one likes a Debbie Downer, not even God. Do not dwell on the bad parts of your life. There are many things that affect us and can get us down. However, we should not dwell on these things, as they can begin to break your spirit and dry your bones, as it says in this verse. We should really focus on the happy moments in our lives. You'd be surprised how many people will start to get sad just because there's so much sadness around them. However, if you begin to dwell on the good moments and all the blessings that God has given to you so far, you could begin to infect people with happiness and lift their spirits up. And in this verse, it says that a merry heart will do good like medicine. This means that you could genuinely help others by just showing joy. You could make someone's day by just showing that little bit of joy. It does wonders, and God wants us to show that joy to others. So make sure that you count all joy when you fall into various trials. Realize that God is the one and true source of joy, and no other greater joy can be found in him. And make sure that you are showing joy, because you never know how much of a positive impact you can make in someone's life. Next fruit is that of peace. I don't know about you guys, but peace is a kind of a hard thing for me to find. I feel like I always have something going on and there's no time to rest. I also think peace is hard for me because I'm a critical overthinker. I always think that the worst case scenario is going to happen. As life goes on, I feel like I am getting better with it. However, with many things in life, the best advice for any worry I may have can be found in God's word. One verse that relates to worry can be found in Philippians 4:6, which says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God does not want us to worry about what may happen in the future. He instead wants us to pray to him and give him our requests. So you may have a meeting that you're nervous about. Pray to God and ask for him to give you guidance so you can make the right decisions. Maybe you're nervous about a big decision in your life. Pray to God. Maybe you are nervous about your first sermon. Oh, wait, that's me. Pray to God, because that is definitely what I did when Dave asked me to preach. Because prayer helps in so many ways, make sure to pray to God so you can truly be anxious for nothing. Another verse that relates to worry is Matthew 6:34, which says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Whenever I read this verse, I feel like it's really speaking to me. I constantly catch myself worrying about, oh man, if I fail this college class, I'm a failure. Or if I'm not going to do a good job at this, why did they pick me to preach? But this verse is able to settle me down because it realized the future is the future. You have to live in the present. I can't worry about something that is going to happen in the future because I could miss the stuff that could happen to me day to day. Each day already has its own worries, so why spend time worrying about something else that does not affect you in this current moment? One last verse that relates to peace is Matthew 11:28, which says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As many of these fruits of the Spirit, the best way to find ultimate peace is in God and his word. Sometimes you just need to put everything aside and just listen to God and his word. He will provide you with the peace and the understanding that you need. I can admit that I often overlook God and His Word when it feels like there's no peace. However, I and probably many others here could commit more to God and His Word, as it is the ultimate guide to life. It could do many wonders to spend time in God's Word every single day. The next fruit is that of patience, also another thing that I seem to struggle with. I work at Meijer, if you did not know, and I feel like that has decreased my patience a lot. The amount of times I can catch myself being more and more frustrated when I hear that crying child in the back of the store scream louder and louder and louder and louder and louder. Or when they think I'm hiding something from them. I'm not 12 anymore, sir. I'm not going to hide the Lunchables. I bet many people here could exhibit more patience in their life when something annoying or irritating happens in their lives. One verse about patience is one that we already talked about when discussing joy, and that verse is James 1:3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Many of these fruit of the Spirit work together hand in hand, and this is a great example of that. If you start to set yourself up for joy and count everything as joy, you'll become more and more patient with people because you always have a positive attitude. One last verse about patience is James 5:7, which says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain." Again, with many of these fruits of the spirits, we can see that they can all relate to God and His glory. Here we see that there are many things that we need to have patience for, but we are all truly waiting for one thing, and that is the ultimate gift. We are waiting for when God returns, we are able to spend eternity with Him in heaven. What a glorious day that will be. Be patient for God and be joyful in everything that you do, because the testing you face every single day produces patience. The next fruit is that of kindness. I feel like the world needs more kindness, even more today. We often see events or things where people get into a disagreement over a little small thing and then just become jerks to each other. This goes along with the love that we need to have in this world as well. People are so quick to show hate in this world. It's so much easier to drag someone down than it is to lift them up. Picking someone up can take a lot of work, as you have to build them back up. However, dragging someone down can be done in any way, especially with the social media that we have available to us today and how easy it is to start some fake news or fake drama about someone. The church is also guilty of this. Many churches will get into disagreements over the smallest things, and many churches break up, members go over to other churches, and people do not let conflict go and hold that anger against someone for the rest of their lives. The house of the Lord is not for disagreements. It's for people to come together and read through God's word and remember what He has done for us and how we have a new lease of life with Him. How are we representing Christ if we are the ones who drag people down? We need to promote kindness in our world and especially in the church. One verse that talks about kindness is Ephesians 4:32, which says, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God and Christ forgave you." This goes along with what I was saying earlier. If Christ can forgive us every single time we sin against Him and turn away from Him, then we can forgive someone who made a mistake or did something wrong to us. Do not let a fight or disagreement with someone be the one thing that defines a person. God does not define us by our sins. We have been forgiven of our sins when God sent His Son to the cross. So forgive other people. Don't let the anger dwell in your heart against someone. One last verse about kindness can be found in Proverbs 16:24, which says, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." This verse also relates back to a verse that we used with joy that talked about how the merry heart is good as medicine, but the broken spirit, it dries the bones. Well, if you want to bring health to your bones, use pleasant words and kindness with one another. We do not need to keep dragging each other down and saying awful things about one another. We need to lift people up and use pleasant words when talking with one another. This can also relate to joy because a simple compliment or nice tone of voice you give to someone is a great way to show kindness and bring joy to someone's life. So make sure that you show kindness by forgiving people and not dragging people down by the words you say about someone. You never know how powerful and how much of a positive influence your kind words can be. The next fruit of the Spirit is that of goodness. Now I'm going to consult the dictionary again to find our definition. And it defines it as a quality of being morally good or virtuous. Now, you may think that goodness and kindness are the same thing, but I believe they are not. I believe that kindness is the outward expression of goodness, when you give a compliment to someone or you just be nice to someone. But goodness is that inward quality that you build inside of you. This goodness can also include many traits that can build up the goodness you have inside of your heart. These traits may include compassion, understanding, honesty, and others that you can think of that would help build up goodness. Now, in the Bible, there are not a lot of verses about goodness, but there are many verses about the traits that can make up the goodness you build inside of you. Psalms 145:8 talks about compassion, and it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord has shown compassion to us and continues to show compassion to us through our lives. However, we are not able to show the same compassion. Someone cuts us off in traffic, and our first instinct is to get mad and honk our horns, or something else that I will not say up here. Or maybe someone accidentally does something wrong to us, and we begin to scream our heads off. However, do we not commit these same kind of sins against God whenever we sin and continue to sin? If God can show compassion to us after we continually sin, then the least we can do is show compassion to others when they commit some kind of transgression towards us." Understanding is another thing that can help build up the goodness in your heart. Proverbs 3:5 talks about understanding, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." We can see here that the Lord will give us the ultimate understanding. We often like to think in our lives that we know everything, we know how everything works, we know how everything is going to work. However, this is not the case. We should not rely on our own understanding. We may think that we are going to do something the next day, but God may have a different path for you. Do not think that you are the ultimate decider of your life. God will send you on the path. It is your job to follow that path and trust in the Lord, and then make sure and to trust in the Lord that that is the path He wants you on. If you put your full trust in God, He will guide you far better than anyone else could. One last trait that can build up the goodness in your heart is honesty. The Bible talks about honesty in 1 John 1:9, which says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." We can see here that we must own up to the sins that we commit. Now, I know that it may be hard to confess some sins. Some sins are hard to talk about, and you may think that other people see you differently because of that sin. However, I'd much rather have people angry at me than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we can see that if we confess our sins, we will be forgiven and cleansed. Many people, maybe even people in the church, may not forgive you, but God will cleanse you and forgive you, which ultimately matters more than human forgiveness. So make sure to be honest in your life and in your spiritual life. And with all of these traits that I just talked about, they're all very good to build up the goodness that you can have inside of you. So practice these traits and continue to build up that goodness that you should have in your heart. The next fruit of the Spirit is that of faithfulness. Now, you may think that faithfulness only applies to God, but I believe it's also in faithfulness to others as well, while putting God first. Maybe you are one of those people who agrees to plans with someone and then you just dip at the last second. Or maybe you tell someone a very personal secret and then you begin to tell that to everyone you know. If we begin to apply faithfulness in our lives, we would not do these things. We also must remain faithful to our partners and friends, not cheating on them or putting them to the side. We have to remain faithful to people and the things we do. We cannot flake out on things or people, as we will begin to show that we do not have faithfulness in our lives. A verse that talks about faithfulness is Psalms 119:90, which says, "Your faithfulness endures to all nations, all generations. You establish the earth and it abides." We can see here that God is the ultimate example of faithfulness in our lives. He has fulfilled every promise He has said in His word, and He will fulfill that last promise when He comes back to earth. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What a glorious day that will be. God has also remained faithful to us by not giving on us when we mess up and sin against Him. He is able to forgive us of our sins so that we have a new chance at eternal life. Another verse that talks about faith can be found in Hebrews 11:6, which says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." We can see here that if we want to please God, we need to have faith in Him and in our lives. We must believe that God is the true and only God of this world, and we must believe that the words that He put into the Bible, and we must believe that they are all accurate. We must begin to show faith and belief and continue to seek Him. He will reward us in more ways than one if we do that. So seek God diligently, listen and follow His word, and live a faithful life for Him, and God will bless you with the crown of life. One last verse about faith can be found in Romans 10:17, which says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We can see here that if we want to increase our faith in life, we need to make sure that we devote ourselves to the word of God. Whether this is reading the Bible, doing a Bible plan or just listening to a message like you hopefully are right now. We need to devote our lives to the Word. There is no other book or TV show or movie or podcast or anything else that will show you how to live the way to live eternally in heaven with God other than the Bible. This is the ultimate life guide, and the commandments in here that God has given to us will serve us very well. And if we live a faithful life for Him, we can have a shot at eternal life with Him. So to be faithful, realize that God is the ultimate example of faithfulness. Continue to seek Him and realize that the Bible is the one true guide to life, and it can increase our faith in our lives. The next fruit of the Spirit is that of gentleness. Google defines gentleness as the quality of being kind, tender, or mild-mannered. We already talked about kindness and the various parts of kindness that we must show to everyone in our lives to be a great example. To be tender and mild-mannered means that we do not show aggression to people. We do not flip out on people when they do something to us. Instead, we keep our emotions under control and communicate our feelings in a nice, calm fashion. We can also be tender and mild-mannered in the way we think. Instead of thinking that someone is always out to get you, maybe you think that they just made a mistake and did not mean to do that to you. When you begin to have a positive mindset and begin to implement gentleness in the various parts of it into your life, you will begin to see a positive change in the way you think, talk, and act. Philippians 4:5 talks about gentleness, and it says, "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." We can see here that we must show our gentleness to others so they can see our good works and the way we act. The world is going to think it's going to be weird. The world's going to think it's weird when you don't retaliate when they do something to you. They might start to question you. That could lead to a conversation about God and all the amazing things He's done to you. You might even be able to get them to church and allow them to realize that they can have a shot at eternal life with Him. You never know how much influence you have in someone's life because of the example you set and the way you act, speak, and think. Another verse about gentleness can be found in Proverbs 15:4, which says, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit." We can see here that a gentle and wholesome tongue can do many great things and provide life, but a harsh and perverse tongue can do much harm. As I said before, it's much easier to say harsh things about someone and tear them down than it is to build someone up. Our words have so much meaning, and we need to make sure that our words are positive because we should not be striving to tear people down in our lives. God never tears us down, so why should we do that to others, and especially other Christians in the church? One last verse about gentleness can be found in Galatians 6:1, which says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." We can see here that we have an obligation to show gentleness and help anyone who is in need, especially if they are a Christian. We all struggle in life. There are moments where we feel like we're stuck in a rut and can't get out of the bad part of our life. We must realize that we have Christian brothers and sisters here who are always there for us, are able to get us out of that ruck that we are stuck in. However, we must also be those people themselves who can help us others get out of the rut that they are in. We need to make sure that we can help whenever needed and show gentleness to one another while doing so. We want to do everything we can to stay away from temptation, so help each other and be willing to accept help from your Christian brothers and sisters. We have finally made it to the final fruit of the Spirit, and that is self-control. Now, this may be one of the hardest fruits to implement into your lives. We often can get out of control very quickly and fall into sin, but we must not do that. We must begin to install self-control into our lives and lean more on God and His Word to help improve and implement self-control in our lives. A verse about self-control can be found in Proverbs 14:17, which says, "A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intention is hated." We can see here that if we begin to act on our desires and temptations, that we are foolish. We must learn how to control our desires and temptations so that they no longer affect us to the point that makes us take actions that we might regret later. We also must control our intentions. We should have clean intentions and not harmful and dangerous ones. The mind can be a dangerous place if you do not have God and His Word in the focus of your mind. When we begin to watch things and see things that tempt us, that is not good for us. What comes in will come out. And that deals with the things you watch, the songs you hear, and the other various things you interact with on a daily basis. So focus your mind on God and His Word so that it can begin to flow from you instead of the harmful desires and temptations that ultimately harm us. Another verse about self-control can be found in Romans 8:6, which says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." We want to make sure that we do not focus on the things of the world as they lead us down a path that will lead to the death of the soul. However, if we begin to focus our minds and things on up above, we begin to show peace because we realize we are getting closer to being to God and spending eternity with Him. The things of this earth will pass away, so why spend so much time thinking about them? The things God has sent for us is eternal. Focus on His word and the plan He has for you, and you will have eternal life with Him. Think about the eternal and not the things that will eventually go away. One last verse about self-control is Romans 8:8, which says, "So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God." We must get out of our temptations in the flesh and to begin to show self-control to those things. We want to please God and we need to be a good example. We read that all throughout the Bible. But if we are in the flesh, we cannot do so. You may be going through a temptation or addiction right now. I just want to let you know that you must get rid of that. We will never know how many people truly struggle with temptations and all the silent battles they go through on a daily basis. But we do not want a silly little thing like a temptation to be the one thing that keeps us from God. Talk to someone, no matter how hard it is. Brothers and sisters here in Christ and around the world are here to help you out of the rut you are in. Please get out of the addiction and temptation you are in. Focus your mind on God and implement self-control in your life so you can loose it and break the chains that are holding you back from being the best Christian and best Christian example you can be for God. Please do not let something like a temptation or addiction keep you away from God. Seek godly help and indulge yourself in the word. It will do many wonders for your life. I will now ask the worship team to come back up as I'm getting ready to close soon. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit tonight, and yes, it is a common thing that you probably heard many times throughout Sunday school and all throughout church, but I feel that these simple lessons that we hear all the time are some of the most important lessons that we can listen to and implement into our lives. All the fruits I talked about today are all great things that we need to implement into our lives. I can talk about them as much as I want, but you're ultimately the one who needs to take actions and commit your life to God and follow the commandments He has for you. The same can be said for the plan of salvation. You need to believe. You need to repent. You need to confess. You need to be baptized. And you need to live faithfully until death. No one else can do it for you. We have to be the ones to decide if we're going to take that step forward. Come to God. Devote yourself to His word. Listen and follow the commandments and lessons He has for you. And be ready for that day when you see Him again, so that you may be ready and have a chance to live eternally with Him. Will you commit your life to Him? Thank you.